Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ja, då sitter jag här på Avis kontor i Sundbyberg och jag sitter med Andrew Smith som är chef över Sverige och Danmark. And now we're switching to English. And I always, when I'm in a cocktail party, I ask, what's your role in the system? Can you start with that question?
Sure. So my role is I'm general manager and managing director for Avis in Sweden and in Denmark. So we operate both countries separately. We have our own teams in Denmark and our own teams in Sweden. And my role is to look after our employees, our teams, and of course, most importantly, our customers in both markets.
Okay, we'll get back to the customers in both markets. Avis, it's one of the most famous brands in the world. Tell me a little bit about the brand story of Avis.
Yeah, Avis as a brand was invented just over 70 years ago when a guy called Warren Avis was waiting for a taxi from an airport. And he said, there has to be a better way. And from there, he had the vision, the idea to create a way that the customer could travel on their own to their destination. And really, that's where the rental car industry came from. I think the industry now is most familiar for its rental cars. But even within Avis, we have a different brands that offer different services to customers. So from our budget brand that we operate here in Sweden, which is more for the value-conscious traveller. We have car sharing brands as well, which is increasingly a big feature in the marketplace. So it's gone a long way from the 70 years, but it all goes back to standing outside an airport on a rainy day 70 years ago and having the idea of we must give customers a better way to get to their destination.
I have been standing in airports many times waiting for my rental car, and there is always somebody trying to sell me an insurance. And I hate to pay this insurance. I have made a deal on the internet, and then somebody's trying to sell me an insurance. And it's, why can't you just skip this?
Yeah, insurance is a product that some of our customers like to take and some don't. So, when you take a rental car, it comes with a basic level of insurance. Some customers would prefer to take full insurance, and that gives them full protection against any damages or any accidents. Cars are expensive assets. They're getting more and more expensive over time. And when you talk about electric cars, environmentally friendly cars, they're more expensive than ever before. So some customers like the choice of being able to take the insurance products. Others prefer to take the basic insurance products and, of course, carry the risk. And certainly at Avis, we don't try to sell the customer anything that they want. I'm very proud actually that our customer satisfaction in Sweden is the highest of all our countries in Europe. So that does tell me that our customers are happy with the service they're getting. We can always get better, and we're always trying to find ways to make the customer journey even faster, including increasingly by going directly to the car and not going to the counter at all through a self-service process, which we just introduced here in Sweden. So that's a chance for any customer who doesn't want to come to the counter at all to go straight to their vehicle, which will save them that conversation if it's one that they wouldn't want to have or they're running short of time, for example.
But my suspicious that I think you make more money in the insurance than you make in the car rental. Am I totally out in the blue?
Yeah, we don't. So the car rental market is very competitive. Our pricing is very competitive, of course, so is that of some of our competitors. So we do have products that we sell to our customers based on what our customers tell us they want. But insurance for us is a part of our proposition to the customer. It's entirely discretionary. You do get a basic level of coverage insurance on the product that you take. So if you want to take the additional insurances, that's completely your choice.
Okay. Avis all over the world, how much money are you making?
So globally, yeah, we have a turnover of close to $9 billion globally. And across our profitability on that is a little less than 8%. So we'd like it to be higher. But it's a continuous battle, of course, in a very competitive industry. In Sweden, we've gone through some tough times. So in Sweden, for the last few years, we haven't been making money. So we're in the middle, or we're some way through now, our turnaround plan in Sweden, which is designed to make our business more effective, more efficient. You know, we've had to make some difficult choices. For example, this time a year ago, we had a significant fleet of vans. We've chosen to move away from vans right now in Sweden and focus on cars and focus on our core proposition to our customers. So Sweden, we're going through a bit of a journey back towards profitability, but there's it's a tough market. There's still more work to do, but I really feel we're on the way to that success in the future.
So why have you lost money? You lost 86 million last year. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, some of it included in that figure is some restructuring costs. So we went through a restructuring program, and you know, we took some decisions to make sure our business was more efficient for the future. There's no one single reason. There's lots of reasons why. You know, we had some locations that weren't operating as well as they should have done. Certainly, we've worked very hard on our fleet deals. So we've got the best cars in the market for our customers going forwards. And you know, some of that's taken some time and some costs. So the figures that you saw for last year, I'm confident were a one-off. And in the years that we go forwards, we'll see a significant improvement.
When you go with Hertz, you often get a Volvo. When you go with Avis, what do you get for kind of car?
It depends what you want. So, you know, our fleet right now, we have everything from a very small car, you know, something like a VW up, all the way through to very high-end Mercedes. We have Teslas on our fleet as well. So, you know, we have a range of fleet. We have 16 different car groups. So within the 16 groups, there's all sorts of cars. If you ask me what the biggest car groups, what are our mainstay of our groups, we have a very high number of environmental cars. About 30% of our fleet is environmental cars. And we tend to have Kias and VWs who fit into that category, as well as Teslas, as I mentioned. So there's a real range. You know, most customers tend to take the most popular car as a family-sized hatchback. So something like a VW Golf-sized vehicle, a Ford Focus-sized vehicle. That's still our sort of our mainstay. But increasingly, we do find our customers want something different. So, you know, right now we've been focusing with a winter car in a Mitsubishi Outlander, which is a plug-in hybrid vehicle, four-wheel drive, which is proving really popular for the Swedish winter. And we see a lot of customers wanting a different car, for example, in the winter, than they may choose for their summer vacation car.
You make the two different groups, accidents and holiday. Can you describe how big or small are, and describe the different categories?
Yeah, we have. I'd probably say we have three major categories. We have corporate business, a business from companies who have a need to have hire car. It could be people coming into Sweden, people traveling from within Sweden. And increasingly, we're even seeing a lot of consumers who choose now to not take a company car, for example, but to take a hire car through their company when they have to travel on business. And maybe that's the way of that consumer reducing their, you know, their own cost, or perhaps moving from two cars to one car within their family situation, perhaps. So sort of corporate is one of our biggest segments. We have, we call it insurance and leasing, which, as you say, is accident replacement primarily. That's a smaller segment for us. That's not such a big share of our business, but we do work with workshops and insurance companies to provide that car to the customer. And then you have the sort of the leisure segment, as you call it. So people traveling into Sweden, very seasonal and, you know, sort of very much dependent on the time of the year. And like I said, the demand for cars can be quite different size of car. You know, we have a need for big cabriolets in the summer, which you don't tend to get so much in the winter, for example. And that's, you know, around about half of our business is that leisure business. And those customers come to us directly. Sometimes they come to us via third parties. You know, we have partnerships with SAS and Norwegian Airlines, for example. And they, you know, their travelers choose Avis for their car rental needs. So it's very seasonal. It varies by time of the year. The insurance replacement business is bigger in the winter when the roads are icy than it is in the summer, for example. In the summer, we see business coming inbound into the big airports within Sweden from overseas markets.
Okay, we're here because you've made a report. What's the report about?
So the report is about mobility, and mobility is probably, in my view, a slightly overused word. Everyone's talking about mobility. And what we found in the report, and we surveyed people across 17 countries to find how their needs are starting to change. So, for example, customers are telling us that they are less interested in the future of owning a car than they have been historically. So customers are saying if there's the right proposition available to them, they will perhaps get away from car ownership. Now, a little interesting to compare sort of how the 16 countries compare with Sweden, because Sweden actually had a stronger attachment rate still around ownership than some of our other countries. And in Sweden also, the
So you say Swedes want to own car more?
Yeah, more than if you take some markets, you know, so the most extreme market, for example, was Singapore, where in Singapore, only about 15% of customers said actually in 10 years' time they expect to own a car. In Sweden, still that figure was around about 40% who still expect to own a car. So it's still a reduction, I guess, on where we are today. But Sweden was still more on the ownership model. But what Swedes told us in the survey was that they are less keen to share cars than perhaps in other markets. So perhaps people still like the idea of having their own car, whether it's a car they own themselves or whether it's a car that they access but still drive on their own. They're less keen perhaps on ride hailing and car sharing than perhaps other markets. And the Swedes also told us that it would, for them to move away from having car ownership, they would really need to have quite a strong proposition, that they felt quite confident in the partner, a proposition they can trust, the car is there for them when they need it. Whereas in other markets, perhaps customers were prepared to take a little bit more of a risk and say actually they would consider more multimodal, different types of transport, more than Swedish people told us in the survey.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I live in the center of Stockholm, and we have one company called IMO with car sharing, and there's been two companies before that, and some fleet is a little bit in this area. I love it, but I can see that not many people love it or like it or use it. What's the problem for the Swedish market, would you say, with this kind of car sharing?
Yeah, car sharing is a topic where you need a lot of concentration of population, first of all. So it works a lot better in big cities where you've got a concentration of population. For example, we have a brand with an Avis budget group called Zipcar in London. We have about 800 Zipcars in London, and London has a concentration of nearly 10 million people. Stockholm is far smaller. So it's quite hard for some of the car sharing companies to really make it work, because you need to have a regular throughput of people into the car, using the car. And also it's a huge investment. You have to invest in a lot of cars to sit on the street before the customer starts to trust it. So there's always a case of, in English, we say chicken and egg. Which bit comes first? Do you have a fleet of 500 cars around Stockholm and all the cost before you get the customer? Or do you start to build the fleet up as the customers start to come? So customers need to trust that they can again get that car on demand. So, but it's not an easy one. And for cities the size that we have here in Sweden, Stockholm, Gothenburg, yeah, there are possibilities for car sharing, but it's a tough market. And that's why I think we've seen a number of companies who've been in these cities and actually have decided they couldn't make it work and have then moved away from it. So it's definitely an area that is still increasing, and we're seeing through our findings that customers are increasingly prepared to come out of their vehicle and embrace things like car sharing, but it takes time and it takes a lot of trust.
And in London, how many are you competing with in London? How it's like you have 800 cars in London, it says, I think IMO now in Sweden have about, or in Stockholm have about 200 or 300. How many sharing cars are there in total in London, would you say?
Yeah, I think there's probably three big brands in London who we're competing against right now. But same as in Stockholm, in London, we've seen various brands come and go. So it has changed quite a bit over recent years. Zipcar has been there for a long while now and was actually there in a previous form through a previous ownership called Streetcar. Which then became Zipcar, which is one of our global brands for car sharing. So it's at the moment, there's sort of competition is three or four parties, but it's changing all the time. And really, we see whether the mobility world is going towards competition isn't just on car sharing. It's against public transport. It's against other means. Clearly, it's around ride hailing, which is an increasingly popular part of the segment now for many customers.
What's that ride hailing?
So ride hailing would be typically Uber or Lyft in some cities. So where the customer is a bit like a traditional taxi service, but increasingly managing through technology. So many people ask me, how does car sharing compare and what's the impact it's having on car rental? Well, they are quite different because the car rental customer typically tends to do a lot more miles. You know, our average customer is doing more than 100 kilometres per day in a car rental, which is a very different use case to, for example, using Uber or Lyft or one of the car sharing, the ride hailing brands.
Car traffic in the city is going down. When did it start and why did it start?
I think in many cities, car traffic's been driven by improved public transportation. So in a number of cities where we operate, we see that the expenditure on public transportation has been getting better. So customers are increasingly able to not need to have their own car. I think a lot of towns and cities are now making it difficult to have your own car through restricted parking, through very expensive parking charges, through, we actually work with some building companies who build new apartments. In the old days, they'd build 70 apartments and 70 parking spaces. What they're doing now is building 80 apartments and maybe having 20 parking spaces. And so every apartment doesn't get its own parking space. But what they're often doing, and we work, for example, with Wallenstam, they're one of our partners, and we provide a car sharing service that can be available on that location. So we're seeing that if you're an urban dweller, you're more prepared now to operate without your own car. You use public transport, you use car rental when you need it. You may use car sharing, ride hailing. You're using a variety of different means of transportation. And really, that's sort of the way we see the mobility world. And from our side, we're looking to connect that up as best we can and build partnerships with good companies who can offer alternative services to give customers a choice. Because I'm the same. There are times when it makes sense to use a car. There are times when it makes sense to use the train or the plane or a scooter or different means of public transportation. So I think we all increasingly look at our mobility needs, our movement in a different way. And we want different services that suit us depending on where we're going. I think the thing that I'm really excited about and I like a lot in Sweden is with such an amazing country and such a vast country in size and scale, there's a lot of places that you can only really get to by car, as good as a public transportation is. Some of the wonderful parts of Sweden, and with my family, we've travelled around a lot Sweden since moving here. And some of these places you can only really get to by your own means of transportation. So I still think there's a good case for continuing to need to have access to a car to get to some of these amazing places that otherwise you wouldn't get to experience.
So what if you look at the report and say, look in the future, what will happen and when will it happen?
I think there's a number of things that are happening. I'd call it a gradual movement. I don't think it's quite as significant as perhaps some articles you may read or hear about. I think the mobility world is changing, but it's not a dramatic overnight change. I think people are getting increasingly comfortable with not having their own vehicle. They can share vehicles, they can gain access to vehicles in a different way. I think people often ask me around what's happening on autonomous cars and driverless cars, and that's another good example which I think is probably some way down the path. It's a great headline, it's very sexy, it's really exciting, and we actually work with Waymo's partner, Google's parent and owner, who have their own autonomous car division. We're their partner in the US. We help maintain and support their fleet, but I still see that as being some way down the path. And I think certainly our research found that Swedes still like to have access to a car, to drive a car, to take the car to places that otherwise they wouldn't be able to get to. So I think the revolution is happening, but it's happening very, very slowly.
This owning a car is, it's a very, I would say, male thing. And in Asia, a lot of people are getting more money, moving into the middle class. Do they have the same eager to own a car as I loved, it's like a thought of owning a car is a very strong feeling. Do we have the same in Asia?
I think there is still that mentality in Asia. A lot of people, as the middle class really booms in Asia and grows, and a lot of people see car ownership as being part of their increasing prosperity. I think we see more of a generational thing. So I've got a brother, for example, who's 19 years old. And I remember when he was sort of 16 or 17 years old, speaking to him. And I remember when I was 16 or 17 years old, I couldn't wait to buy my own car, choose my car in advance. It was a secondhand, pretty old car, but decide which car I want to buy and do my research and test drive some cars. I think, you know, my brother now, 16, 17 year olds, they don't have the same need to own it. In fact, you know, he didn't have the same desire to pass his test the day that he became able to take it. I think the generations are changing. I think the younger generation are more interested perhaps in the technology behind it and how they can gain access to transportation solutions without necessarily owning something. And you see that with Airbnb, you see that with Amazon and some of the, you know, the amazing tools that are out there now, that ownership is not perhaps the be all and end all that it was 20 or 30 years ago. So I think, you know, we do see some differences in different parts of the world, but I think we see bigger differences between the generations, that the younger generation don't have the same desire or need. They're prepared to share and actually gain access to services in a way that perhaps when I was that age, I wanted to own it and for it to be mine.
Okay, what more could you tell us about your report that I have forgotten to ask about?
I think, what I think we see happening across Sweden right now is, you know, I mentioned the sort of the mobility shift, but I think we're also seeing a country where the environmental considerations are also becoming increasingly important. We're seeing that within our customer base. So we're investing very heavily in environmental vehicles and vehicles that can help customers reduce their output. And there are times when we all need to travel. It's about how you travel efficiently and effectively in a way that doesn't actually create a minimal effect on the environment and in the world that we all contribute to. So I think that's a really big trend that we're seeing right now, really starting to grow in Sweden and Norway. We're seeing it less in other European markets. It's definitely something I think that's coming through more in this part of the world than in other places. So it's something we're listening to very closely and making sure we adapt our fleet, and increasingly through environmental vehicles, through increasing the fleet of electric vehicles. You know, these are all sort of part of the proposition, and again, that the consumer of tomorrow expects to have from their chosen car rental or mobility partner.
Okay. Is there something else that I should ask or that I have forgotten to ask?
Another question I get asked quite regularly is what's happening with connectivity in cars, that cars are increasingly absorbing a lot of data and using that data in ways they haven't done in the past. And it's something that, you know, we're at Avis, we're investing very heavily in, particularly with we've got a fleet now of over 200,000 connected cars globally. And those connected cars are designed to work in a different way. They can help use data in a way that the customer can get smarter choices, whether it's around how they travel, where they travel, and smarter choices in terms of the route they take, for example, or how they get from destination A to destination B. So connected cars are very important. What it's starting to enable is more of a self-serve journey. So part of our work we've been doing recently, including in Arlanda Airport in Sweden, is we now have the ability for the customer to go directly to their vehicle, so bypassing the counter, in a way where the customer can use their app and they can choose the car the moment they step off the flight or the train in other locations, for example, which enables them to then completely control the rental experience. So that's the other thing we see, that our customers want to bypass the counter more and more, to go direct to their vehicle, and they're very conscious of the 10 minutes or 15 minutes that they'll save, for example, in that process. So we're working hard to make sure our proposition reflects that, and we enable our customers to go directly to the vehicle if they want to. We still would love to see our customers at the counter. We have a fantastic team of well-educated, great trained, and delivering a fantastic level of service at the counter. So we're still very happy to welcome customers to the counter. But equally, if the customer chooses to go directly to the vehicle, then we're more than happy for that to happen as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.